Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome to Wildcast Studios for another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats, presented by Alpha's Appliance Solutions. Right now, to the end of January, they got the KitchenAid Buy More, Save More event. So you save $200 when you purchase any two, $300 when you purchase any three, or $400 when you purchase four or more qualifying KitchenAid free standing appliances. As always, Fenisters, I am your host, Adam. I'm going to make it through this episode with a sinus infection, so bear with me. But I'm joined by your favorite co-hoster, writer for Rocket Sports via the QMJHL News, Mr. Jeremy Boucher. You survived outdoor skating.
I did. I got some wheels on me.
Yeah? You got some wheels?
Yeah, I got some wheels. Not as good as the wheels were when I was 8 or 9 or 10 there. But still got the legs. I think I could maybe open up the open tryouts for the Cape Breton Eagles next year. I think I could probably squeeze my name in there.
Maybe some senior hockey.
Well,
up in Miramichi,
the Buckdoosh Junior C's.
Or them, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the, Miramichi, I think, has one too.
Yeah, and we'll give it a shot there. Maybe that league in Quebec that's just fighting. There's not even hockey. That seems more suited for my abilities.
Yes. Avery enjoyed it. Where'd you guys go? The Avenir Center? Or?
No, we went to the Maple Hills Rink.
Oh.
Yeah, and beautiful Maple Hills, New Brunswick. On the
Didn't you say that's the rink that Eric built?
It is the rink that Eric built, yeah. He's got a nice big sign.
Is there anything that guy can't do?
He's pretty talented.
Sell your house, buy your house.
Sell land,
build a rink. Win tickets to an Oilers game, donate tickets to us. I mean, is there anything Eric Murray can't do?
He's very, very smart, very talented individual.
Can confirm. Who'd you have to teach kind of more on the skating? The Avery part or the Megan part?
Oh, Megan. Avery's got it sort of figured out.
Yeah.
She's not zooming around. She's still trying to figure out how to kind of lift. You have to lift your foot off the ice instead of just. She's still figuring that out, but I think we're, now that we live relatively close to a rink that is rarely, never busy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good opportunity for us to go out there, every weekend and have her figure it out. So. Nice. I'm looking forward to it. Nice little rink that they built up there in Irish Town, and all volunteers. It's all done by people in the community, and really nice. There was there's a fire pit there now. There's firewood there now. There's picnic tables. You can have a fire, go for a skate, have a little roasted weenie. Hot and marshmallows and all that other good stuff. Yep. And nice family event, nice place for a date on a skate. A skate date.
Yeah. That's there's a few of them around here in the Louisville area too that we haven't quite taken advantage of, but now that football season's over, my Sundays have freed up. I don't know if I've had a worse Sunday in my life. Dealing with this cold, so I had a nice little nap. Woke up to the terrible news that the Oilers have signed Corey Perry.
Well,
So that just wrecked my juju. And then the Buccaneers lost to the Lions.
Smith-Schuster?
Yeah. And then the Buccaneers lost to the Lions. And look, we weren't supposed to be anywhere near a divisional round playoff. Mm-hmm. We were still in it right up until the end. I'm not upset by it. I mean, it sucks to lose in the playoffs, but I'm not upset. And a lot of work in the offseason, but we had like $80 million dead cap money. No Tom Brady. We took his full brunt. We basically paid the credit card bill of advancing everything past for 3 years with Tom, which worth every penny. But yeah, it still sucks to lose, but I'm not sure I've had a worse Sunday. And then to wake up with a fever on Monday morning, I'm just like, this sucks. Like, thanks, Corey Perry.
But on the bright side of things, Taylor Swift's boyfriend's team did win. So
seriously, my Sunday could not have gotten worse. Like, I'm
on team.
I'm ready for Usher.
Yeah.
Like, if
speaking of Usher, are we going to, I guess it's still like 3 weeks away.
Yeah, you still got some time.
We're going to do a bet again like last year, first song.
Yeah.
Okay. I already know what's good. Right. I'm already putting my money down.
Like, honestly, if it's the Chiefs and the Lions, could care less.
Yeah.
I don't need, like, I you have no idea how much I need the Ravens versus the Niners. A, because I picked it, but B, because I want nothing to do with the Lions anymore, and I cannot stand the Chiefs and that Taylor Swift crap. Not, and it's not her fault. It's just...
Don't start talking bad about Taylor Swift.
It's not her fault. It's the NFL.
I will walk out that door just as fast as I came in.
No, no. Like she said, and she said, I can't remember when it was, but she's like, I don't ask them to put the cameras on me. They just put the cameras. Mm-hmm. So I don't blame her, but as if a fan base and the team couldn't be any more annoying, that's it. So yeah, my Sunday sucked. My Saturday wasn't too bad. I got to watch Hell's Kitchen finally. Got caught up. We... For all of our predictions and one of us being really good and one of us being really off, or both of us being really off in, you know, hockey and more than that,
mm-hmm.
we have nailed this Hell's Kitchen with Jonathan, Ryan, and Sammy. And
I think we have a pretty good chance that it's final two.
Yeah, I think it's Jonathan and Ryan in the final two.
I think so. Because usually, I don't know, it's just, it never seems like it's man versus woman or woman against man in the finale. Yeah, it's always, you know,
two best chefs, which it
two
should
best
be
chefs. Yep. But it just happens to always be two chefs of the same gender. So yeah. it's unless one of them massively messes up next week. And when I say next week, I mean on Thursday night's episode. I think it's a pretty good outlook on Ryan and Jonathan.
Yeah, which, I mean, they've been the most consistent throughout the whole show. So, should be interesting. And then, like I said, we get into his next level shift, his next venture. It's just one Gordon Ramsay show ends, the other one continues to go, and we go from there. But, yeah, so don't forget, as always, you can follow us on the social medias, Twitter, Moncton Wildcast, Instagram, Wildcast Podcast, TikTok, Wildcast Podcast. And, of course, if you're not already liking and subscribing here on the YouTube, please do that. Click the little bell so you're notified when you miss. So you don't miss a post game. So you don't miss an episode of this. I'm working through this, people. And probably have some more TikToks as the Kubota Top Prospects game is coming. We're going to be there.
We need more TikTok. Yeah. We need more TikTok content.
Yeah. We're going to get there. But we started this last week with having fans ask us for questions. And we got another one. This one comes from fan of the show, Julian Robichaud.
Hey, Adam and Jeremy. What would be your opinion on improving the Wildcat Booster Club so we would have more away games where we would have reserve seating for Wildcat fans to sit together and cheer for the team and also have road trips to Quebec?
Yeah, I'm 100% on board.
Yep.
That Booster Club, I think, really needs to be lifted up. It needs a rejuvenation. Because when they were based out of the Coliseum, and I hate to bring up that word Coliseum, but it just seemed like every time you walked around the mezzanine, there was a table, and the table had bus trip here, bus trip there.
Yep.
This one to Quebec has this included and this included and that included. Just one to Halifax is just, you know, your ticket. It showed the cost. It showed the dates. You could sign up right there, right then and there at the table. Yeah, I think it's something that really needs to get rejuvenated and something needs to happen to get this figured out, because it was very, very popular. And yes, you could say that it's mostly seniors that went on these bus trips. And, I'm not going to disagree with that.
Mm.
But ever since the move to the Avenir, there is definitely more youth in the crowd, and school could get in the way of these Quebec road trips, but you know, if you got a Sunday afternoon game in St. John, or you know, a Friday night game in St. John or something like that, you know, a Sunday in Charlottetown, these are quick turnarounds that can easily get organized and put together. But at the same time, I think it's a liability. There's a liability thing that maybe is causing the holdups. But no, it's a very good question, Julie. I'm on board with it. I want to see it back. We need to get we need more Wildcats presence in the away games. You know, you hear them in the crowd, especially, you know, this past week in Quebec, you heard them. Whether that was, you know, fans from Moncton or family, doesn't matter. You know, if you're in the crowd with your Wildcats jerseys on and stuff like that, it's going to boost up the team.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, mostly, I still remember going to the one in the Aiken Center for Game 5.
Yeah.
You had to pay for it. But I do remember seeing a bunch of banners and stuff, but I couldn't even tell you who the Booster Club is. Like, the podcast is on the Booster Club Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
so that the show gets out there so people can see the show. I don't know who's running it anymore. I know it always seemed to be the same four senior ladies, and maybe this has to be, the Wildcats have to be part of this instead of putting it all on fans to do this. But, I mean, you got the February, the Family Day game that you should be sending a bus to Halifax, mm-hmm. or two buses. It's a Sunday, Monday is off, and then we've got the home game. Like, we should be filling up there. I mean, Charlottetown on a Sunday you could do if you wanted to, but it's got to be a concerted effort. I know school is tough and people taking off work, especially for these Quebec trips that are usually Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday games, which I think, now that I look at the schedule, there's basically that's what they are. It's very tough, but hey, if you set out to have one trip when the schedule comes out just before the draft, people can plan for that. And if you can't bring out a, you know, we're going to do a bus trip and start on February 1st to get people organized for a Baie-Comeau, Chicoutimi, Drummondville bus trip. Like, you just can't have that. And that's where the team needs to work with the Booster Club or whatever to revamp this thing, to give lots of planning. Like, the Teddy Bear Toss game was planned probably in advance, but it wasn't advertised till a week before. So it makes it difficult. It needs to be both team and fans. And if you give them the chance to go to these games, they will. Look, we've looked into it. We would love to do it, but the insurance and the liability on a bus is too much for us to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And not even hotel trips in Quebec. Like, we just look to go to Charlottetown or look to go to St. John or something like that. Like, this should be something, as we get into February, the team should have their playoff packages out, like middle of February. You know this team's making the playoffs. You should have some sort of bus trip for games 3 and 4 right now in the first round, depending who we play. Like, if they're playing St. John or Bathurst, it might be tough in the midweek, but this is the time you need to get this thing going, and you need a lot of planning, and that maybe that's what it is. They don't have someone to do a lot of the planning, but they need to work with the Booster Club. So, again, great question, Julian. If you guys have a question for us, DM us on any of the social medias, and just leave a voicemail like he did, and we'll get that question on the show. So let's get some news and notes from around the queue.
News and notes from around the queue.
So, Patrick Waugh was named the new coach of the New York Islanders, sans beard, because of Lou Lamoriello's... it was a little different to see him without that, but...
like a fresh 40-year-old man.
Yeah, the Lou Lamoriello style there, which wasn't so much a surprise. I think we kind of figured he was going back to the NHL, maybe not the New York Islanders, but there was some question leading up to recording of the show. He was bringing Gatineau Olympique coach Benoit Desrosiers as his assistant, who was assistant last year to New York with him, but the New York Islanders, just before we went on, said they're not actually doing it, so it was going to be him leaving and Serge Beausoleil taking over behind the bench for the rest of the year, but now I don't actually know if that's a thing.
Yeah, it appears that information that was dropped by Stéphane Leroux appears to be that of the fake news variety, so... I mean, the Islanders tweet basically says that the plan is to meet with Benoit Desrosiers in the future. But, you know, he hasn't been hired by the team. So, good job, Stéphane. You really make yourself look good on the old X today on Monday. And that's kind of funny. He's saying it's happening. The team's denying it. Not a very good look when it comes to... reputation, but you know, at the same time, he's really good with that the Quebec trade period times when it comes to leaking stuff out, so
yeah,
not gonna give him too much of a
no. And maybe he just got a little mixed up where he was coming there, but he didn't quite put this week. Maybe he's going to be going there at some point, which I mean, good for the Olympics. It'd be tough to lose your coach halfway through the year just because another coach got a job in the NHL. But, we'll have to see. That's a kind of a moving... I had this whole thing typed up, and then I'm like, oh, I guess that's not exactly news, but it's a bit of a conundrum, and we'll find out. Maybe Gatineau will be looking for a new coach into the next year. The top prospects game is tonight, and the captains were announced for the game. Team Red has Sam Dickinson of the London Knights as a captain, Maxime Massé of Chicoutimi, and Ollie Josephson of the Rebels. As the assistant captain, Team White is Berkeley Canton of Spokane. The A's are Spencer Gill of Rimouski and Henry Muse of the Ottawa 67s. Makes sense that Spencer Gill kind of gets a letter in that one. QMJHL Team of the Week. It was the Baie-Comeau Team of the Week. We got Justin Gill, 3 games, 3 goals, 5 assists. Donovan Arsenault made his impact. 6 goals and 2 assists in 3 games. Maxime Massé, who you will see tonight. For Chicoutimi, 5 goals and 1 assist in those 3 games. Pierre-Olivier Waugh for Victoriaville, 4 assists in the 2 games. And Veslav Komarov for Drummondville, 1 goal and 3 assists in 2 games played. And Nicholas Ruchia of Cape Breton, 1-1, 967 percentage, 102 goals against average. And 1 shutout on the week, your player of the week, Donovan Arsenault. One of those very, very late trades that paid immediate dividends for... For Baie-Comeau, a lot of people weren't sure he was worth the first round pick, and I think they scored, what was the tweet, 16 goals in less than 24 hours, and he had 6 of them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like,
lighting it up.
He, is our guest almost ready?
Our guest.
Oh, he is ready.
I think our guest is ready.
I think he is ready.
We got a first timer over here, ladies and gentlemen. First time
guest, yeah. So, unless you got any other news and notes, no,
we're
good.
Yeah, I think we're good. Yeah.
All right, let's get to a view from the other bench.
View from the other bench.
Well, with the top prospects game in town tonight, we figured why not bring in a little help to get you set with the game and some names to keep an eye on. He's the director of scouting for Hockey Prospect. He is Jerome Brube. Welcome in, Jerome. Proud to have you on first time.
Yes, thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. I guess I'll start. There's a lot of names on there, but if you're a casual fan, there's obviously one that's going to stick out, and that's Team White's Tiege Aginla. 55 points, 40 games for the Kelowna Rockets. Just talk about what he's like this season.
It's been really good this year. I mean, last year he played for Seattle on a stack team. Didn't really get a good chance to play last year, like mostly like fourth line, you know, ice time last year, but Kelowna this year, he's, you know, he's on the top line, top power play. He's a bit like his dad. He can really shoot the puck. He's not as big as his dad, but like he's a guy who competes hard, skates, you know, well enough. But honestly, like his hands, his shot are his, you know, his main asset offensively. I mean, he's a guy I really like, and I think he's gonna. I think a lot of people will hear a lot more about him in the second half of the season. So he's a really good player.
Yeah, in terms of the goaltending that's going to be in town here, there's no names that really stand out when it comes to the netminders. Is there one that that you're particularly high on, if you look at the 4 names that'll be in town Wednesday night?
Yeah, it's not a great class for goalies in the CHL. I mean, I think if you look at the goalies that they have in the game, I think Carter George is definitely a guy that is probably the best of the bunch. But him and, you know, Ryerson, Linders, they're two good goalie, but they're a bit on the, you know, the limit of what NHL team looks at as far as their size. They're about 6 feet, maybe Linders is 6'1". They're definitely the two guys that would be, you know, watching. I think Central Scouting ranked George number 1 last week. in their midterm list. So definitely the guys that I would like, if I'm a fan, keep an eye on Wednesday night.
So I'm looking at, first question was about Team White. I'll look at a forward on Team Red. And Tanner Howe, the Regina Pats. I mean, he's played the last 2 years with Connor Bedard, so obviously he's had the affordability of getting all those points when you play with a Connor Bedard. But just talk about him, you know, kind of playing on his own this year. He's got 52 points in 44 games for the Pats in what I would guess would be kind of a rebuild. They didn't really go all in with Connor, but just talk about Tanner Howe.
Yeah, to me, he's been a bit of a surprise this year. I feel like his style of play, maybe I didn't get the best of look last year, but I remember like one of the first game I saw of him this year, I thought he was tremendous, but not because of his skill level or I thought he was just, he was a tough player to play against. And, you know, he's a 5'9" forward, but just a compete level, I really was surprised by that because I didn't really see that from him last year, even with Regina or with Canada to U18. Like he couldn't, he had trouble staying in the top 12 forward for Canada at the U18 last year in April. So he's a talented player, but I really really like the work ethic that he has. And as far as like the draft goal as well, he's a bit of an older player, like he's a late birthday, so that might play a bit against him as far as the draft goes, but we'll see.
And I guess if you look at the lineups, obviously the one notable omission that, you know, we would all be familiar with would be Justin Poirier. Are there any other names out there that that you guys over at hockeyprospect.com are high on that we might not see actually in the game on Wednesday?
Yeah, there's a kid out of the WHL, Miguel Marquez from Lethbridge. He's ranked in our first round. He's not at this event. I was a bit surprised by that, just based on talent. I think he should be there. One guy who was just added today, Nathan Villeneuve from Sudbury of the OHL. I was surprised he was not originally on the roster for this game, but he was added today. I think he's replacing Ryder Ritchie, so that'd be but yeah, Miguel Marquez would be the guy that I would say keep an eye on him in the second half. I think he's a really good player, really one of the top playmaker in the draft class, in my opinion. So yeah, Miguel Marquez.
So with the tournaments, we get so used to talking about tournaments coming to places. With the game being here in Moncton, obviously no Wildcats were there. A bit of a two-part question. Were you shocked that Keegan Warren didn't get into the game, knowing that he's had a limited bit of ice time, but he's right there with some of the other goalies? And as well, I guess Spencer Gill from Riverview playing a home game. Just talk about Spencer Gill and what he brings in a scout's eye.
Well, as far as a goalie, I mean, you can make a case, but I don't know how much he is on, like, scout, you know. He's on scout radar, but it's mostly like, is he going to be a high pick in the draft? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Unless he has like a, you know, a fantastic second half and playoff. But as of now, I don't think the scout sees him as a potential high pick in the draft. You know, most guys that are there this week, you know, 99% of them will get drafted, and usually probably top three, top four rounds. Might be some exception. I think last year, maybe one or two guys last year didn't get drafted. And it's even more tough to project for goalies. So, and for Spencer Gill, I think he's, I mean, it's not really a good class for the Q this year. But you know, he's interesting, Gil, because of he's a 6'4" right defenseman, and we all know NHL teams love that. But he's a project at this point. You know, there's a lot of physical maturity that will need to happen for him. So, like, what he looks now might look a bit different when he's 19, 20. So there's a lot of projection that needs to happen with him with the scouts. But he's interesting. He's having a good year with Rimouski. He can move pucks. He's got some creativity also. He just needs to, you know, get bigger, get stronger, improve the skating. I think the skating will at some point get better just because he's going to get, you know, stronger physically. He's gonna have more power in his stride. But yeah, he's actually one that I'm pretty interested to see how he does Wednesday on a big stage like that.
You're only biased because you're from the Rimouski area, though. That's why you say that. just to obviously, you know, not only do we have the NHL Top Prospects game here in Moncton on Wednesday, but we also have the Q draft here in Moncton. So I kind of wanted to pivot to that just for a question or two, if that was all right. I guess looking at the draft class, how would you rank it in terms of, I guess, the how deep is it? Any, you know, names that, because there are some teams that have 2-3 picks in the first round. Any names that are standing out for you, you know, 6 months into the U18 season?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not scouting the Q draft anymore, so it'd be a bit, like, I don't know, like, the draft class at all. I just know a few names, and I've been talking to some scout just to get their like, thoughts on this class, but as far as I know, what I was told, it's not really a great class. As far as, like, they might end up being, like, pretty good Q players, but, like, as far as, like, NHL, as far as, like, projecting them as NHL draft picks in the future, it looks like a pretty, you know, weak class from what I was told. So, as far as, like, names, like, I couldn't, I know Josh Rowan's younger brother at Shattuck is one of them. There's Romain Letellier also. His older brother plays for Blainville. He's another guy that could go high in the draft. But outside of that, I'm out of the loop as far as, like, Q draft goes.
Well, I guess I should research you a little more. I thought you were still involved with that stuff.
I guess just the last one. Jeremy told me before we came on air that you're a big WWE guy. So the Royal Rumble is in a week. I guess just your prediction on the women's Royal Rumble, and if The Rock shows up.
Again, Jeremy, I don't know. I guess you and I should talk more because I'm not as much into WWE as I was before.
Oh, okay. What the hell's going on here? Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know. My wrestling, I like to keep track of what's going on, but as far as, like, watching, I guess I don't have as much time as I had before.
Right.
Yeah, I think The Rock should probably show up at Royal Rumble. I mean, I'd be surprised if he didn't. Like, it looks like he's gonna wrestle at WrestleMania, from what I hear.
Yeah.
Like, so I guess he has to show up at Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I guess that's part of the stuff. Is it gonna be for a title, and or just head of the table, and Cody finishes his story? But yeah, I thought you were. I thought I saw some on Twitter. You maybe just follow it enough to talk about it on the old Twitter. But man, we really appreciate you. Are you in town for the game?
Yeah. No, I will not be in town. But yeah, I used to be like pretty big on WWE, but kind of like dropped out a bit. It's funny, like one guy you guys have on the podcast often is Patrick McNeil, and every time I see him, we end up talking more about wrestling than junior hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch as much. Like I went to a AEW show in December, that's it. You know, I don't watch as much like weekly on TV. So,
gotcha. Yeah, no. If you want to talk, if anybody wants to talk wrestling, just hit Pat up on the old DMs, and he can go for hours on that. But obviously, Jerome, first time guest, long time listener. So thanks for joining us and being on the show. And what's kind of a busy week for you?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on, and enjoy the week, guys.
Yeah, thank you too, man. Thanks.
Well, apparently, if everyone's going to do this,
research,
so yeah, I was going to say, we got to, other than just researching players, we should probably research our guests because we both. Yeah.
Here, I thought he was still doing Q stuff, but nope.
Here, I thought he was I've seen him. I swear to God, I've seen him like have opinions on WrestleManias and stuff. But he's probably like, I mean, he's probably somewhat like I am. I pay attention to the WWE at the Royal Rumble for guys or girls coming back, and then Elimination Chamber, and then WrestleMania, and then I just kind of tune it out and watch here and there. But yeah, do you know Elimination Chamber? Fun fact, is in Australia this year, which puts it on at 5 a.m. Eastern time. No thanks. But anyways, this isn't a wrestling podcast.
Should be.
as we get closer to the game, I'm getting more excited about the guys that are showing up. Like when we announce the game, you're like, oh yeah, it'll be fun, it'll be cool. And now that we're getting close to it, and then you see Bob McKenzie's top 10 or whatever come out, and Sam Dickinson from London is number 7.
Yeah.
Berkeley Canton's number 10. I think he had Caden Lindstrom, who I think was injured, who he's not playing. Zane Parker is number 9. Like 3 of the top 10 players that could be in the draft are at this this prospect. And then they're talking to Jerome. I mean, it's going to be a very cool event. If you don't have tickets, you should get them.
Yep.
There's still a few left. Don't buy into the suckers that are charging $120 for a ticket. Just don't. Whether you're sitting second row or up in row 20, it's a good seat.
Yeah, it's not a bad seat in the building. So
please pay $36 before you pay $120 plus tax. But yeah, no, I'm excited for this one. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. Hopefully this media assigned seating have us relatively close to each other. Because if not, I'll probably be a nervous wreck sitting next to, you know, Bob the Builder over here from TSN and... Craig Button, imagine me sandwiched between Bob McKenzie and Craig Button and these two.
But imagine you get to meet Jerome again, though.
I will personally have several Calgary Flames items in my bag with a Sharpie. If I ran it, man, it would be absolutely a dream come true to be
able. What's his role with the Flames? He's like good assistant question. GM, isn't he?
Is he that high
like
up? Would he,
like, I know they're going to send their scouts and stuff, but I mean, I would assume he'd be here as part of the off ice staff /
special advisor to the general manager.
That sounds like special assistant to the assistant manager.
Yeah.
Sounds like Dwight Schrute. But, I mean, I've seen Horkoff for the Red Wings, at the Avenir Center walking around. You've seen other names. So I would think
it will be. You'll see some. You'll definitely recognize some faces. You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And their suits and ties. Walking around. So, no. If I happen to run into him, and I wouldn't hesitate for a second to ask him for a picture.
It's funny. I think I'm getting more used to interviewing players and media and being that, and then we both get the media availability, and they're like, "Yeah, if you want to talk to players," I'm just like. No, I think I just want to watch. I think I just want to take this all in. I mean, we might have some content after the game, but pregame stuff, I'm like, no, I don't want to. I'm good. I'm just the new guy. I don't want to step on any toes. Yeah. I just want to enjoy the game. And hi, sir. Nice to meet you. Good talking to you.
Well, that's how I feel, right? Like, honestly, if I'm not sitting near you,
yeah,
and I've got someone that I follow on Twitter with, you know, 25,000 followers to my right, and someone to my left that's in the same boat as Buddy on my right, I'll be like, I have 500.
So, Raphael, if you're listening to this in the morning, or Michelle, can you see if Jeremy and I can sit together? That'd be really, that'd be really, just put us in the corner, but just sit us together up in top, because it is assigned seating media wise. But again, thanks to Jerome for giving us some names on some players that you can kind of keep an eye on in this. And it's exciting. It's, I don't know when we're going to have it again. And so if you haven't got tickets, please get tickets to go see it. And well, let's talk about our team now.
No.
Weekly Rewind.
The Wildcats go 1-2 on the week, bringing the record to 26-10, 3-3, 58 points on the season. Still third in the conference, second in the Maritimes division. That lead's getting a little bigger. Wednesday, they went into Blainville, which was the most important game of the trip for you. Took them a while to get going. Thankfully, they did. Mm-hmm. And got the only 2 points of the trip. I know you joked that Matias Kluche was going to run over his former team.
Almost did.
Almost did. Scoring the 2 goals for Blainville. But, I mean, 41 shots for Moncton, and it took him till the third period to just kind of get rolling there. It was a little bit nerve-wracking.
To say that they, I mean, not it's not that they didn't get off to a slow start. They more or less dominated the first period.
Right.
But they were down 2-0.
Charlotte factor.
You know, and that's what was it like? If he allows 4 goals, it's going to be a win. If he allows less,
that's what
than
it was. Yeah, last year 4 goals.
So I was like, okay, we need 4 goals here, boys. And how many goals in it?
5.
They got 5 goals. So as soon as I got that 4th goal, I was like, all right, she's in the bag.
Yeah.
But the was an empty net, wasn't it? The fourth.
The 5th one was an empty net.
Yeah. So once I had the 4th goal, I knew it was kind of it was over. But I'll be honest. 180 minutes of hockey on the road.
Mm.
I watched 20.
Yeah.
I watched the first period of that Blainville game, and I think that's the only bit of hockey I watched on that road trip.
I watched the second half of the second and the third period of that, and then I watched like the third period of the Rimouski game.
I don't know what it is. I just...
The CHL app keeps refreshing on my Roku.
Well, for me, it wasn't that.
So
for
that... That bothers me.
I had no motivation to watch the hockey, and I don't know why. Maybe it was just, I don't know, midweek road games. They're later than what the home games are. You know, I'm an old man. You know, I like being in bed at 9 o'clock, and by that time it's not even the second period. You know, you're just like, I just didn't have the energy to stay up and watch a Wednesday night game, a Thursday night game. And, you know, the back-to-backs on the weeknights, they kill me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I was dead on Friday. I tried to stay up and watch hockey on a Thursday night or Wednesday night, and I just found myself watching something else. I know my responsibilities of a co-host of a Wildcast podcast is to watch this team play hockey so that I can, you know, provide feedback.
Yeah,
but for some reason, I just was not in the mood. I was not in the mood to watch hockey last week.
If it helps, as responsibilities of a host of a Wildcast podcast to watch hockey, I didn't watch it either.
Yeah.
I watched the first period. Now, you can probably tell in my voice I'm not doing well. So that had, like, I was in bed at like 9:30 on Thursday. The Thursday game, what I saw, thank God for Jacob Steinman again. 50 shots, 46 saves, and it... From what I saw, it was a concerted, like, it wasn't, they were just giving him extra shots every now and again. It
That's
was a
what
full
I was thinking.
50 shot effort.
When I turned on the old box, when I flipped on the box score and I saw 50 shots, I was like, did he really face 50 shots?
Sure did.
Or was the trigger guy, you know, the shots on goal trigger thing just going crazy in Victo?
No, I watched, like, when it was buffering, which.
How do you give up 50 shots?
Man, the first period, it was 21-5.
I know, but like
they could not get out of their zone. It just was shot after shot after shot. It was unbelievable.
And somehow they managed to hold them to the final 2 minutes of the game.
They scored the first goal of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is that was a game where I went to bed and I woke up and got a text from producer Kyle that was like, "Ah, man, they couldn't get the puck out." Or he said, "Got to get the puck out there." And then I feel bad for Steinman. So I'm assuming the puck didn't get out and Pellerin got the game winner. But it's just like another. And that was the one right after they had, I think Halifax had lost, but they got a point. So I was like, oh, I woke up, saw the 4-3 score. I was like, oh, did we get to overtime? At least get a point. We didn't. But yeah, it's, I don't know how they were within this one. Jacob Steinman is leading goaltending now in saves by quite a bit after that effort. 930, so he's up by 40 saves on Quentin Miller for the league lead there. But yeah, and then Saturday in Rimouski, kind of knew this one had the potential to go to Rimouski's way. They had just beaten him 4-1. It was a physical affair. Rimouski didn't want to lose twice to Moncton in a week. And again, if you look at all three box scores, aside from the first period against Blainville, they're outshot in the first and second period in both of the games. And then in the third, 22-8. Like, they wake up in the third period. It's like, I think the bigger concern for me is Denoyer. I don't think he played a lot in the third period against Blainville. He didn't play against Victoriaville. He didn't play against Rimouski. And now that injury coupled with him being gone in the U-17 tournament, they're now 2-5
without
him in the lineup. And you can see it in the top six. There's just, I mean, you put Sumpf up there, it just doesn't look the same. You keep the MCL line together, obviously, but it just kind of messes with the chemistry a little bit. And you know, the impact that he's had on this team to be 2-5 without him in the lineup says a lot for the kind of player he is at 16.
Yeah, we could say the same about some other players that we've had recently.
Yeah.
It was the same with Pelche. You know, when Pelche wasn't in the lineup, the team wasn't the same.
Yeah.
When Mueller was away at the World Juniors, the team wasn't the same. You know, there's guys that you know, they're glue guys, and they seem to bring energy to the team. And, you know, when they're not around, it definitely has an effect. You can tell it has an effect on the overall performance and mood and all that other stuff. So I should have shut my mouth and not said what I did about Barbashev last week, because by the looks of it, he played his best game of the season against Moncton.
Looks like we got a listener in Rimouski.
And so, yeah, that's probably on me for all I know. But no, like I said, I think I watched 5 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
I Saturday after. It was Hockey Day in Canada. You know? What are you going to watch?
Canada, football on.
Football.
You went skating with the family.
Yeah. I mean, there's just. That's what I mean. I was not in the hockey mood last week at all. There was just something that was not. The brain wasn't in. Wildcats, I wasn't on cat fever last week. Let's put it that way.
No, I'm kind of glad they were on the road, because I couldn't have gone to the Avenir Center in this condition. But it also sucks that they were on the road, because I didn't feel like watching. And it's really hard when I want to watch it and it keeps buffering.
Yeah,
to be honest. Like, and then to come out and say it's my internet. Nope, because it works on the iPad. So and it works on one of the bottom two TVs. So. But yeah, I think the more concerning part for me is the fact that they're 2-5 when Denway isn't in the lineup. They now move to, what did I have them at, 3-something on Thursday nights? 2-5 on Thursday nights, been outshot 38-22. So not getting any better. And, we got, three more games on Thursday nights: Bathurst, Baie-Comeau, and Cape Breton. So. Going to need all three of those to get to 500 on Thursday nights. So a little bit of a week off here. I'm assuming the Wildcats are practicing somewhere else.
Maybe probably the fourplex.
Fourplex or the uniplex. But they got kind of a big one on Friday night. They don't play against till the Eagles, and they're now 8 points behind us. They're playing pretty well. I think we lost to them in overtime, but that's a team that's kind of right on our heels, and that's kind of a big one.
It's starting to be a big one. They are a different team. The return of Jacob Newcomb is
clearly, awesome.
A, awesome. B, yeah. Only going to make them better.
Yeah.
That's basically like getting a very good player for nothing at the trade period.
Yeah.
You know, it's a huge return to their lineup, and you can see it in their play. They are a different team now. They're playing what looks like inspired hockey, and I'm concerned about this game, and you know, I can see it going either way. When Mr. Barrington asked me for my prediction, I'll probably say I don't want to give you a prediction because I'm just not as, I guess, confident as going into this game Friday night as I would have been maybe the first two games of the season that we got to witness in Cape Breton. So it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out. And yeah, so I will watch the game. I will perform my duties as a podcast co-host. So I will have, again, this is perfect. It's a 7 o'clock start. It's right within, I can make it to 10 o'clock on Friday nights. Let's put it that way.
Yep. Yeah.
But no, I want to see how they respond to this game. You know, it's a tough road trip, and, they know that, you know, it only takes a couple losses, and then Cape Breton's right on their heels. Right, this is a 4-point game. They're 8 points up, but this is a 4-point game. So, you know, I think I'd rather have a 10-point lead than a six point lead. Right. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and that's the thing I said last week is, last year, they let the losses spiral into 4 and 5 and 6, and This is the third time, I think, this year they've lost 2 in a row, and then they're able to win the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what, oddly enough, you'd think everybody in the queue had the week off, but Val-d'Or plays Victoriaville tonight on a Wednesday.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's... They play a game on the night of the Prospects game?
Yeah. Little odd.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Caught me by surprise there. But no one's playing until then, so they've got time to get, you know, situated, and there's no making up games here. But you're right, I mean, this is where you can't let losses spiral in your group. Now, this will be the third time they've lost 2 in a row. They've been able to bounce back. I think the last time they did was against Chicoutimi, like 8-2, and I'm not predicting they're going to bounce back 8-2, but it'll be interesting to see if Denoyer is in the lineup. I've always wished that the team would give a little bit of an update on this, so we're not wondering as fans, and this is from a fan part, not the media part of me. I know Regina does it pretty well. They say this player out week to week, this player out day to day. I would love just you don't have to say what it is, just Caleb Denoyer day to day. Then we know, we don't have to worry about it. Fans don't have to wonder if he's going to be in the lineup. But that's just not their style. It never has been their style. So, but it does suck. Hopefully, with the extra rest, he is back in the lineup. I got no idea what the injury is, but. It's a pretty big one. And then Sherbrooke finally back at home, and that one will be interesting after being on the road for 4 straight, how they play as we get into.
And they're no slouch.
No, they're not. And then February is a pretty congested little schedule and a tough road trip right after 2 at home. So it's not going to get any easier. So they need to kind of cap this 2-game losing streak now. And
it's funny, considering how congested that February schedule is.
Yeah.
How do we have 4 or 5 games in hand against Halifax?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand. Like, how did it happen, for one? And I don't get it. We've only had 1 game postponed.
Yep.
That's being made up on the 30th. But still.
Oh, yeah, that is on the
30th. How do we have 4 or 5 games in hand right now?
We have 4. So we should have 3 because if we'd have played the Bathurst one. Yeah. But still, like...
I don't get it.
3 games on Baie-Comeau and 4 games on Halifax. Mm. We've played with Victoriaville and Val-d'Or, we've played the least amount of... So that Val-d'Or-Victoriaville must have been a remake.
Because
they both have 42 games played. Yeah. And they're playing, knowing that they got nobody in the prospects game maybe. But I'm not anywhere close to a must win against Cape Breton, but you really want to see them kind of... stop the losing streak at 2 instead of going 3 and then into 4 and then into, oh, Christ, we're on a roller coaster like last year.
Yeah.
And that's what they're up against. Are you ready for everyone's favorite part of the show?
Yes, of course.
All right. Eric Murray, realtor, buy your house from him. Stick tap of the week.
Everybody knows I have a dog, a little Iggy, named after again, of course.
What?
But to say that I am an excellent dog parent would be a fib, a little bit of a fib. So I did take him for a checkup today at the Mountain Road Animal Hospital. He hasn't been there, and this is where not being a very good dog parent kind of sets in, but. Probably haven't taken him to the vet in about 6 years.
Oh, jeez.
So it's come to the point where his nails are super long and he hates the vet. And
you don't cut his nails?
No. Oh. He will bite my hand off. Do you ever see that video on TikTok, the little shih tzu?
Yeah.
That's my dog.
Okay.
Anyways, I took him to Mount Road Animal Hospital today and super good with him. They weren't able to touch him because he was going to freak out, but they kind of gave us some pointers on how to make it a lot easier for us to bring him to the vets and to get him his hair cut and to get his nails trimmed. They gave him some good drugs. It's always good. Drugs
that's
are,
that's the
I was just about to say drugs are good, but no, drugs aren't good. Drugs are good for animals when they are used for sedation.
Yeah.
So, no, I wanted to give them a shout-out because I went into that appointment scared for my life because, you know, when you don't bring your animal to the vet for 6 years, you never know what the hell they're going to say.
Yeah.
They could be like, oh, your dog is so internally sick that you've got 24 hours more with him and that's it. You know, you never know when something like that's going to happen. So I just, you know, I wanted to just make sure that everything was fine. Everything's, by the looks of it, it's fine. But yeah, shout out to the Mountain Road Animal Hospital. Just being super, super good with some not very good dog parents.
The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the RE/MAX Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
All right, and that brings us to the Wildcast Wildcat of the Week, presented by Rosemary Lynn Massage and Spa. Right now they've got, they don't have that flashlight anymore. Don't forget they've got a loyalty card. When you book 9 spa services, you get one free. If you want to take advantage of that, call to book your appointment, 506-830-1224, or book with them in person at 1224 Mountain Road. Well, this is going to a player that the Wildcats called the Sniper on the road trip on their little graphic. He had a pretty decent trip. He found the net 3 times in those three games. He's finding some success going in that hard like a power forward should. He's finding some success this month, actually, to be honest, not just this past week. He had 3 goals on the road trip. He's got 4 goals on the month. Wildcast Wildcat player of the week is number 9, Gabe Smith.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So again, if you don't have your tickets for the Prospects game tonight, please go get them. Please pay Ticketmaster prices. Don't pay the $120 that people are trying to suck you into. And once again, we want to thank friend of the show, Jerome Brewery, for joining us. Not to give us his wrestling takes or his Q takes, but we will do more research next time we have him. But for talking about some of the prospects, it's going to be a lot of talent in that Avenir Center on tonight. And
I'm on Team Aginla.
Yep, I'm on Team Aginla as well. And the Wildcats are back in action on Sunday night against Sherbrooke. For Jeremy, I'm Adam. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.
It was Robbie Sunday, and they're just not saying anything.
Well, I was thinking that.